Okay, here we go.
Yeah, my heart is racing. I'm feeling nervous.
Stella
Oh.
can't be nervous.
Ooh, thank you. Okay, last week, when you casually were speaking to someone about my situation where I complained I couldn't see and all, and you prophesied over me, but I do not know why I was not able to capture that word at that time. But last week, when you brought it up again, I realized that I was able to see in those days when, you know, I was in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the 70s. I was able to see, and that incident that I'm going to share now is to show you that I was a seeing person. And I don't know what happened to me. Maybe I went hibernating, and for almost 40 years, I've been hibernating, and now your word that was spoken just opened my eyes. And it was, you know, I was going through surgery, removing my womb in the hospital on the operation theater, on the bed there. And I saw myself, they already injected me to what do you call, numb my whole body. And I saw myself above me. And I was looking at my body lying on that operation table, and the doctors were all around. And I was just looking. I do not know how, what. I don't seem to connect to it. And suddenly I heard my name being called, and I recognized this voice because it was a voice of my friend. In panic, she was, you know, calling out my name. And that's the end of that vision. I don't see myself up there, but I don't know what was happening. The next day, when I was in the ward, back in my ward, the same nurse that was at the operation theater, I believe, she came to see me, my friend. So I told her this situation. I heard you in a panic calling. What was it? She said, yeah, for a few seconds, you were dead. So I realized that was when I was up there looking at my body. So I said, wow, I'm able to see, isn't it? And how come now that I've been complaining I can't see? So that was the real situation that took place. And that was one thing. The next thing was, from that time on, I had fever, infection. And the fever just refused to come down. They tried all kinds of medication. Then, when the prayer group leaders came to pray over me, they entered by the door, and I felt a dark cloud leave me out through the window of my room in that ward. I don't understand what is all this about. But now, coming into Dr. O's teachings about the spirit hovering over the dark waters of our life, and bringing new things. So I connect that, you know, the spirit was hovering over me, over the dark waters, and that whatever darkness that was there left me. That was how I conclude. I do not know whether it's my interpretation or whether I'm wrong or right. I do not know. But these are my feelings, that all these years I was like that Sleeping Beauty and the hare and the tortoise race. All this I'm beginning to connect, as though I've gone into that deep sleep, and the prophetic word that shone into my life only at the second time that it really set me free to recognize that, you know, I am a seeing person. And I thank God, and I thank you, Pastor, for all the meditations that has broken loose and has enlightened me, awakened me. Praise God.
Wow, what a testimony. So this thing that happened, that you died for a few seconds. Was it now or was it before?
70 in the 70s.
Wow.
So
Wow.
I'm brought to remembrance. You see, I am a seeing person.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely awesome. And
Praise God.
now I see how you are seeing, and I see regularly the things that you share after the meditation, how
Yeah.
you've been seeing well. That's amazing, Stella, and I really
Thank you,
love your
Jesus.
testimony. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Devi.
That's really something, Stella. Being able to actually come back from sort of like get resurrected, into such a state. It's wow. I mean when somebody actually dies and come back and the things that are imparted to them, right, is something that you it gives you I don't know, it gives you real confidence, it gives you faith, it gives you everything to know that there is such a specific purpose why you are why you live. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank
Yeah.
God. And Dr. Oh also said, if you are living to 70, 80 years old, that means the Melchizedek order is at work in you. So I was, quite uplifted by that talk of Dr. Oh, the Melchizedek
Wow.
order that gives you life for so long.
Wow.
Stella, can I ask you one question, please?
Yes.
Stella, you are mentioning in the 70s when you're in the operation table, for a few seconds you could see your body from the outside, which means
Yeah.
for that few seconds you were dead, and then you heard somebody calling out your name when you were out
Yeah.
of your body, and then you said that
Ooh.
person came to see you the next day.
Yeah.
So how did you hear that voice when you were out of your body? Can you share a little bit?
Just a few seconds I was out. When I heard the voice, I came back into my body and they finished my operation. That's all.
Okay, and that friend of yours came to see you next day.
Pardon?
That friend who you heard his voice,
Yeah.
you said she came to see you the next day, right?
Yeah. She came to see me and I told her this. And she said, yeah, you were dead just a few seconds and you came back to life.
How did she know that you were dead?
The readings on the, what do you call that? The heartbeat and all, they monitor what, as you are in the operation theater. It stopped functioning, leh? The readings.
Yeah, but
So
that friend
that's
of
how.
your
But
friend that you
that
heard
was
your
a
voice.
Denzel. That friend was a nurse at the operation.
Okay,
She
I got
was a
it, got it.
nurse.
I got it, I got it, I got it.
Awesome.
Thank you for clearing that, Debbie. Thank you so much. Well, see, I think
Just wanted to
this
share.
is a good participation where we can, get cleared of this thing. Okay,
In the
and
same,
Stella, beautiful, beautiful, very encouraging.
I just wanted to share something, it's interesting, but in the same light, I remember a testimony, something that Kirby shared, that that he's made an agreement with his with Fiona, that if something ever happens, that they make a pact, right? They made an agreement. If something happens to me, I'll, that you have the right to tell me, call me back or whatever. So one time actually Kirby did go into like an asphyletic shock, like he just about died. But then it was like, thank God for Fiona, right? She says, Kirby, you come
Whoa,
back now. You come back
whoa,
right now.
whoa,
And it's like because, they've already made a said agreement, so this is what happened. And, Kirby came back. But I remember that kind that testimony, how you do hear as you from your natural world, even if you have gone on. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing day to start with. What a discussion. Amazing. Wow.
Can you share some light about this agreement between Fiona and Kirby? Can you share some more light on that?
Yeah, I heard the what Kirby shared also. So he was really sick, and the pact they made because we believe in immortality, and the pact was made by both of them. Suppose Kirby dies, Fiona calls him back to life. Fiona dies, Kirby calls her back to life. So kind of not because it's quite a when you die, it's quite they say it's quite freeing and liberating. You feel nice when you go, and so there has to be someone to call you back to life, right? So that kind of pact is sometimes important. I know that Prophet Cobus died for at least for I think 6 times, and he was called back to life. Prophet Cobus shares his experience that once when he was dead, he had that experience of nicely going away, but then in the mid he realizes he has to come back to life, and people were getting him back to life. So it's so important sometimes to make that decision as spouse or with someone. If I, with same mindset, if something happens, you got to get me back to life. Yeah.
That's awesome, Vernon. Because this is what we can now practice, you have been advanced in so many giftings. So we can, can connect you. If anything goes wrong, six fancy calls you. Vernon, this will happen. Oh, get up. Come
exactly.
Back. You've got a lot of work to do.
Exactly. Because you see, the consciousness is more of trying to make you realize and get you into that awakening. And I wanted to point also this about Stella's testimony.
Move. Away. Get. Go.
Yeah.
Okay. Go.
Okay. This about Stella's testimony is she was seeing, she knew that she. Only thing is, she was living in an illusion, and this is the issue with most of us. We live in an illusion. We do see, we all see, but our illusion tells us, oh, you cannot see. And especially when it is, when we have a wrong doctrine, so when you say, oh, you need a special gift of the Holy Spirit to see, you need to have a special anointing session to see, you need someone to lay hands and then only you will see. Those kind of things can literally make you blind, because those are illusions of the mind. And it is so important that those illusions go away. So when I was telling Stella, when Stella joined Mystical Tribe, Stella would share this, that I have difficulty with seeing. And I think I made a small, I gave up a small practical way how to see. And that's it. And I told her, it is, you are able to see. It's not that you, and you are seeing. It's not that you are not seeing, but you are not aware that you are seeing. That's the issue. So when Stella, when I spoke that, it literally awakened her consciousness. And made her realize, I'm seeing. And that illusion went away. And when that went away, and Stella, I'm right now, is so sensitive now to seeing things in the spirit. Yeah. So it's so important, like most of us here, just to realize, just to understand, we are seeing. And, reprogram the language, because sometimes our language affects the way we really operate, right? So if I say continuously, oh, I'm just a feeler, I'm not a seer, or I'm just a seer and I'm not a feeler, then we are speaking against the reality of who we are. But we need to really say, I can see, I can feel, I am one with God. Realizing our oneness is so important. I'll share with you one of my friend just shared with me yesterday. So this guy is a minister, preaches the word, for a long time he could not prophesy. So I shared with him, he's in North India, so he was going to minister. So I shared with him, I told him, you are one with God, you are one with God. Try to understand that. And so this guy, he started praying in tongues and started, as if praying in tongues, in the mind, he's literally saying, God and I are one. I am one with God and I'm able to do everything. And as he said that, he goes into like this trance-like state, and then he starts getting knowledge of people who are going to come for his prayer meetings. He gets the names, he gets the address of those people, couple of names here and there, and all that knowledge, and it's so quick. And then he opens his eyes and he goes for the prayer meeting and he starts announcing those, declaring those names, and like all those people are there, their names, their address, all that stuff. So what really made him to get that knowledge, get that prophetic sight, is he's knowing of being one with God. Yeah. Anyone wants to say something? Anyone?
I think it's the point is consciousness, you know, like, yeah. Let's put it this way. Another word for it, maybe it's like being aware. It's like an awareness, conscious awareness, you know. So when you are consciously aware of anything, like, I mean, before you encountered Christ, you know, that's what the message is all about, of us telling people, like, you know, hey, you know, guess what? You don't have to have Jesus jumping into your heart. You have Jesus already. He's always been there, right? So in that sense, when we are consciously aware that we are one, and we are consciously aware of that we lack nothing, right? If we are told we lack nothing, we are consciously aware of all these things change, right? And it's all to do with what we are aware of, what we are conscious of. Wherever your focus goes, your energy flows. So it's like, I think that's what it is. So the more you dwell into everything that God says you are, then the more authority, the more power to you, and the more ability, right? So if you're conscious of lack, you know, then that's what it is. But if you're conscious of abundance, that's what it is. If you're conscious of health, that's what is ill. But if you're conscious of COVID, that's what it is. Right, so it's all what you're conscious of, no?
Absolutely. And you know, you can't say I'm one with God and I cannot see things. You see that language is so important. Language is so important. You have to say, oh, I'm one. I can see, but I'm not just aware of it. I mean, you can just reprogram the way you speak, and that really works out. So, you know, what is prophetic? What is prophetic word? A prophet, who is a prophet? A prophet is the one who sometimes sees for you and makes you realize what can be made out of your future. So sometimes we are in such an illusion that we are not able to see our own future. See ourselves prospering in future. So somebody comes and releases a prophetic word. He is literally seeing for yourself and seeing your future. That's called prophetic. So, you know, as Debbie and people who are there in the contemplative prayer group, knows this, how visualization, how you know, how Joe Dispenza puts it, how to visualize and how to feel and see your future, and that materializes as you see. Same thing, when you are not able to see, the prophet sees for you and feels for you and shares the vision to you, and then it opens your own mind, and when you agree with it, I mean, that what is prophesied comes in fulfillment in your life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Can I add a little more to that?
Go ahead, please.
When Devi was sharing about, if you consciously think about your lack, then your subconscious mind automatically produces lack, because your conscious mind is linked with the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is connected to the cosmic mind of Christ. So if I think prosperity, my thoughts will go to my heart, and my subconscious mind, which is my heart, which is Christ in me, produces what I think about it. That's what we have been learning even from Joe Dispenza. So therefore, you have to correct the way you think. You can actually heal your body through your thoughts. Amen? So when I think of health, my subconscious mind takes it and makes it a reality. And today I am having good health because I think that, you know, I'm very healthy, Yore, Vave, Rafa, and I have one good. So when I begin to imagine that, my subconscious mind produces it. Amen? Am I right, Ravana?
Yeah, exactly. So true, so
see,
true.
So I should. I mean,
sorry. No, but that is the concept of placebo, you know?
Yeah.
You know, placebo, right? Because if they give you some colored water and they tell you that the colored water is going to cure you, you know, and you drink it with the confidence, which is another word for faith, that the colored water will help you, then it helps you, right? You know? So that's exactly what the power of the mind, the power of the thoughts is over your biology, right? So the thing is, that's why it's important. It's also important to discern your thoughts a little bit and have a cleansed conscience. Because if your conscience is toxic, like if your conscience tells you that something is not good for you, right? Something is wrong or whatever, then what happens is that your body starts, you know, also reacting in response to the toxicity. You know, your body wants to preserve you, right? And your body will reject it, right? You know, I mean, it's like all these things, all these dynamics come into play when your mind and your thoughts are, you know, doing something else. You know, they don't agree. Like when things don't agree in your body, it's like autoimmune system. You know, your body fights against itself. So that's why, like it's in the science, it talks about mind-heart coherence. The mind and the heart have to be in agreement.
Yeah.
So whatever the issue is, if your mind and heart, even like prosperity, if your mind is in one place, you know, that, yeah, I need this money, yeah, I'm going to declare all these things, but your heart is not there, right? Then it will change things, right? You have to be able to, I mean, yeah, this leads me to another question, actually, Vernal. You know, something that Kirby talked about. He said, it's not visualization before feeling, you know, something like that. He said that emotion is very important.
Yeah.
And if you can get feeling first, can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so.
If you understand it, I didn't get it.
Yeah, so I did hear him saying that there are two schools of thought. And I had asked for the clarification, because he's like, the feeling is more important than visualization. But I think sometimes the feeling, but it's very difficult to feel without visualization. That's what I believe. And but sometimes it is feeling, you know, like if there is someone who is there in front of me and I want to see him healed, so sometimes And this is the point I think he's making. When I'm laying my hands and I'm imagining and then feeling it, the energy is literally going into imagining and then later on feeling it. Okay. Now, I believe, I see that because sometimes I've noticed it when I... How about just feeling that? Like, that's where many Christians say, I feel the anointing. And when I feel the anointing, I lay my hands and the person just gets healed. I see that is effective. And the guy is not really trying to see a vision for you, but just feel you. And I think that is effective. But when it comes to like us, we are doing morning meditations every day. We just can't feel I'm going to be rich after... I'm going to get prosperous. I'm going to be, you know, these are the things that are going to happen in my life. I'm not just feeling the future, but more than feeling, I'm also visualizing. So, I mean, let's say I'm having very difficult time. I'm getting nervous in public speaking, and I need to speak for or do a presentation next week. It's quite difficult to just say, "Oh, I'm feeling like speaking. I'm feeling confident," right? But it's more easy to visualize that you are doing the presentation. There are people sitting in front of you. You're confident now, and now you're putting that feeling, and you're doing a meditation like that. Now, that in that scenario, it is quite easy.
I think it's different tools for different occasions.
Exactly.
Right. So there's sometimes then you will actually just need to feel like internalize things.
Yeah.
Because I think the question is whether the energy is spent outside or inside. Like, I mean, are you losing the energy by giving it out to visualization, you know, or you are actually using that energy to do what you wanted to do with the emotions.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Because our mind is very, it has imageries, right? Pictures.
Actually, I'm reminded of a Greg Braden principle, you know, I mean, or I can't remember, one of these neuroscientists where they explain how the heart is 50,000 times, it expands 50,000, projects 50,000 times more magnetic waves than the brain, the mind, you know? Yeah. So in other words, when you feel something with the heart, right, it actually goes much further and it's more powerful. Maybe that's, maybe that is the science of understanding our vibes, our emotions, our feelings, you know, from that point of how it actually is more effective. Because that's why sometimes no matter what you say, people can feel your heart, right?
Exactly.
You know, if you're sincere or you're not sincere, right?
Exactly.
Because they actually can tell. That's why intention is a very important, intention and purpose is very important, because intention and purpose come from the heart.
Absolutely.
Debbie, when you mentioned the heart, are you talking about a physical organ in the body or is it a spiritual thing?
I think it's the spirit. It's the spirit.
Okay.
It's the spirit.
It is not a physical heart, it is in a body, but it is a heart, which is spirit.
Yeah, right? heart as in the biblical heart, which is like your spirit, right?
No, because you mentioned about the thought and you connected to the brain. Now, brain is a physical part of our humanity, but the soul is the immaterial part of humanity. Right, Vernon? The mind is like the software and the brain is the hardware.
Yeah.
It says like the brain is the faculty of the body, you know. The mind, the brain is the faculty of the body, you know, of the flesh, you know. And the what do you call it? I think it's the mind is a little bit like the faculty of the of what you call the your soul. You know, and the conscience is like the faculty of the spirit.
Amen. Yeah, right. Wow. Right. Sorry.
I'm quite careful sometimes to, you know, speak about the mind, the body and the spirit, because when I start speaking about those things, people tend to start dividing and separating and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So if you are able to understand oneness well, then it's good to speak to the matured people and discuss like this.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if you have a mindset of separation, I mean, I see people just, you know, go off track when they talk about, because then some people will speak about the body as the flesh, and body as of the world, and the spirit of the of God, and the soul as you. So there are quite a funny type of you know, connotations of all these things out there. So I'm little careful when I'm talking about the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit to people, because of the separation mindset. I think we have to be more conscious that we as body, we as the soul, and we as the mind are one. And when we start knowing that these three are one, and we are supposed to look after all three faculties, the all three areas of such things, because what is happening in the present mainstream Christianity is people ignore the soul, ignore the body, and focus more on what they call as spirit, right? But the truth is, it's all one, it's all one, it's all in oneness. And if you are separating, again you're getting into that illusion of separation. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's good to talk to a people who, like us, among ourselves, who are quite matured enough to understand that oneness. So in that standpoint, it's good to talk about this stuff, you know. But we have to be careful of, obviously, when we are talking about this, because of the mind, it always separates. It starts separating, you know. So like if I'm looking in the physical, with the physical eyes, suppose I'm going for a prayer meeting, and I see a name on a billboard or a number on a billboard, and for me, God says, okay, this number is going to be relevant today. Somebody is going to have this number as their address or phone number. You need to speak it out during the prayer meeting or prayer service. Now I have seen it physically, but it is also called as seen it spiritually, seen in the spirit, you see. So it's one for me. It's not that this for me seeing is something like I need to see it in on an when my eyes are closed on a screen out there, like a vision. Even this is a vision for me. So looking at things like that physically, sometimes just feeling it emotionally is also seeing, and seeing it as a vision is also seeing. So it's all one. I try to avoid to categorize it as a I saw in the spirit, or I saw it in my mind, I saw it physically.
Yeah, that's cool. That's those three things that people always tend to say in the spirit, when actually it's, you know, they, I used to do that too. I kind of like demonize the senses, like always talk about, oh, like you're not spirit led, you're sense led, you know? So in other words, that meaning that you actually are pandering. I mean, that like there is a, like, again, it's a question of the use of words, you know? And your intention of how you bring it about, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Anyone has anything to share and want to put questions out there, discuss, but just Also, if you have some testimonies, you can go ahead to share. Yes, hey, Francisco.
Hi.
Can't hear Francisco. I see your mic is unmuted.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Now you're much clearer.
Oh yeah, sorry, it's the Bluetooth. Hi.
Hi.
Prophet and Debbie, hi.
Hi.
It was quite interesting last night call, yeah? With the questions and things.
Awesome, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, a lot of people here are not on that call, so maybe we'll just discuss what people want to discuss.
Oh.
People,
yeah, hi everyone anyway.
Yeah. People can watch that deep video of Prophet Kirby on US and Canada page.
Oh, I see. It's posted?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was public. Okay.
It's made public. I saw it yesterday.
Oh, cool. Excellent topic. Yeah, then we should really encourage people. We can put it on Mystic Tribe.
Yeah.
Excellent. Awesome.
Any questions, guys? Testimonies? Anything? Come on. How about testimonies? Guys, have any testimonies? Your experiences during meditation? How have you been really blessed, improving after the meditations?
Yeah, Thursday's meditation.
Yeah.
You were talking about the wind, the four elements of the earth.
Yeah.
And when it was fire, when you just before you spoke that fire, it was brought to my mind. What do you call the picture? I was in the house already doing the 72 dimensions of Yode Bhave, which Pastor Sugi taught us. And there is a picture of the winter scene. And I realized I am that acorn already buried in that soil that is so hardened, but it is still alive. It takes a fire to, what do you call, germinate that seed. And so when you were talking about that fire, I could feel that fire like a whirlwind going into me. And that's how I saw the, remember I shared, I saw a hole and I saw bricks, a heap of bricks there. So it was a hole that the fire that like a whirlwind went into me, brought that hole and cleansing was done at that time. That was the experience I had at that Thursday's, the four elements.
Wow, amazing. That's amazing. Wow. So that's wonderful, you know, that meditations. That's so important that meditations are for us to, you know, awaken us. You know, that's what meditations do. Awaken us and allow us to see things that are happening in the realm of the spirit. That's amazing, Stella. And the main reason that I'm keeping Mystical Tribe, this is the reason I keep there are, because I think we all need to sometimes go back to the purpose of why we are doing what we are doing. If we don't understand why we are doing what we are doing, then we are getting into something called as just religion, empty religion. Now, why do we exist, first of all? Why do we collectively, and why do I promote coming together collectively for this morning meditation? The reason, because of collective consciousness. We are having something called as collective consciousness, where we all come together and we are visualizing, we are literally projecting the reality that supposed to be out here in our life. So when we are collectively watching, we are literally collapsing that wave into the material form, you see. So for this to understand, I want to say watch my video on Christ consciousness. I think most of you have watched it, but if you have not watched it, I mean, to get into mystical tribe, you have made it mandatory for people to watch Christ consciousness so that you understand the whole idea and the purpose of why we exist. So, and I was sharing this with Debbie yesterday, that they did this experiment, and they saw that when people were meditating collectively in an area, they found the crime rates in that area coming down. Isn't that amazing? This was done, this experiment was done and seen, you know. And this is what happens when we all get together from different regions all over the world and collectively sit and meditate. We are in the realm actually of the spirit, impacting the nation that we are in, impacting the family, impacting the surrounding that we are in. So that's one reason that we come early in the morning, and you know, for some of us it's morning, some of us it's evening, but we come together as one. And most of us, for us in India, it's 4:30 a.m. early in the morning, because we do it so early because you know, the biggest church, the largest church, the largest church gathering was I think who is that guy, Paul Yonggi Cho from South Korea. And what he would do is, one thing he was he says is the key for his church to be that large is because of, they would gather early before 5 a.m. and all their church would gather. They would ring the bell and then they would pray. And by doing this, he says that his church just started increasing just by waking up early morning. Now, what is the beauty of waking up early in the morning and doing it is, now, as I know, as I speak about consciousness, collective consciousness, there is negative way where people start looking at things, the waves collapse and negative things are happening. So most of the people, majority of the people, we are programmed to visualize and think negative. But when we wake up early in the morning, before 5, majority of people are sleeping. So the collective consciousness, majority collective consciousness is sleeping. So we are become, we who get up before the world gets up and start visualizing the positive, have more impact now, because the majority consciousness is sleeping. There's the clash is less, so it's more effective. So that's what I believe, you know. There is a, that's why. And also when you get up early in the morning, it's easier for you to get into the theta brainwave state, a meditative state, because you're already drowsy and sleepy. It's quite easy, your heart rate is slower. So there are a lot of benefits of this time, a lot of benefits of getting together and doing the meditation. That's why I don't promote much of recording the YouTube video of meditations and releasing it on YouTube. However, I have been recently doing it for reasons, because sometimes I cannot make it up for meditation. But yeah, this is the sole purpose, you know. Yeah. Anyone want to speak up on this? About
for me, the blessing is that you know, it's a discipline, right? And sometimes by myself, I don't have that discipline.
Yeah.
So because it is because it is something that we all do, it's very different, right?
And it's
because
easier.
It's something that, yeah, and therefore it actually gets you up on your day on the right foot.
Yes.
You know, instead of, you know, let's say individually, you know, jumping into your day and your concerns, your work and all the rest of it, you're getting up earlier, you're actually putting yourself on the right program, you're actually conscious, right? You're immediately conscious of Christ, of your Christ-centered life, you know what I mean? So, yeah, absolutely. That's for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So right. It's even that is a very important point that I wanted to share. We are programming ourselves, you know, and starting the day by programming our mind, you know, so that throughout the day now we are geared to think in a certain way that is going to benefit us. So I know so many of us shared testimonies about how the whole day goes now, and also the discipline becomes very easy when you do it in a group. And I always believe that God created, when he created as family, and he said men shall not live alone. And there's so much of power in that word, you know, when he says men shall not live alone. And we carry a kind of a program in us to live together as a community, and community living always helps us to you know, live better. So when we do meditations like this, or when we do any, pick up any discipline, doing it as a community is much easier than just sitting and doing alone, you know. Like I've seen it, if you ask me to run alone now, I'm training for marathon, so if you ask me, come on, train yourself, go run alone, it's so difficult. Like the other day, one guy from our group, he could not come with us to run, so he said, I'm gonna run alone in the evening and follow the training plan. So he tried to run in the evening. He could barely run, 10 kilometers when he was supposed to run 21 kilometers. And we who never ran 21 kilometers, some of them, they could easily run 21 kilometers just because we were doing it as a group, as a community. When you're alone, it's not impossible, it's difficult. So,
exactly. That's why I'm waiting for you to start up a exercise together, so we can do exercise together. I don't even like, especially like I'm trying to do Qigong, I'm trying to do high intensity. It's like I did it, you know, 1 week. I was like, yeah, yo, I'm going. You know, next week I'm like, oh, faltering. I get busy, you know. But if it is an appointment, and it involves other people, there's more obligation, right? And it's
exactly.
More, it brings you to that. So yeah, just
it just binds
for
you.
mystical tribe fitness to get there. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, this is Mystical Tribe is on its own, is, I believe, is like the real heart of God, and it's like a modern church or a church which is actually how God wanted. So the word church, I'm surely might sometimes offend us, but to make it more easier for us to understand, it's a community, that the way God wants us, a community without any bondage of or you know, you're not bound by rules and regulations, but it's out there to support each other. So that's why I also encourage testimonies, because testimonies encourage each other, and we start mirroring each other's testimony, each other's goodness. Now today, Stella's testimony about seeing in the spirit is a great encouragement, and it's going to surely make some of us who are finding it difficult to see in the spirit to now, it will make it easy for us to see in the spirit. So there is so much of beauty in this community living, and especially when it is not having or bound by rules, regulations, hierarchy of the church, setup that we have been seeing for so many years, you know, when it does not have such kind of thing, and everyone is looked as the son of God, matured as son of God, and there's freedom to ask question, freedom to challenge each other and not get offended. I mean, there's a great beauty in this tribe to grow, you know, and really
exactly.
Mature.
It's to me, it's like, you know, it's like there's no condemnation, because, you know, we try not to operate from the knowledge of good and evil, you know, and yeah. be judgmental and condemning and stuff like that. So when you have that kind of a spirit in love, you know, can you imagine a family living together without any sort of like condemnation, what you eat, what I eat, what you like, what I like, you know, and everyone's always like trying to, you know, like they say, justify yourself, right? Everybody is right in their own eyes. So in other yeah. words, it's always the essential problem is, I don't know in other families, but sometimes I find like in my personal situation is like there's so much always trying to, you know, always be the one to be right. You know, somebody always has to have the last word. Somebody always yeah. wants to, you know. So when we get away from all that in a community, my God, you have a wonderful, safe place, right?
Exactly.
And that's what everybody needs, right? To have a safe place to express, to be the unique expression of God, right? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm, you know, sometimes I really want to appreciate people here. Sometimes, especially Debbie, you know, sometimes she literally challenges me in stuff that I say. And the best thing is I learn with those challenges. I realize sometimes, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have seen that situation in that manner. So we have some talks after, and literally sometimes Debbie challenges, and you know, but I see such growth when I look at it into with a teachable, spirit.
Exactly. I just wanted to honor Verno, because he's really not like any other leaders who actually think that they are the N word, you know.
Yeah.
So come here. Just a minute, my dogs are having a situation.
So
yeah, I agree. I agree on this community living and all. And what I see is, you know, Kabbalah says that we were one spirit, one soul, and the soul broke into pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's a gathering back into that oneness, into
yeah.
that one soul. That's what I see in this community building.
Exactly. Isn't it wonderful? That, you know, in the book of Genesis, it was the tongues that separated people, right? And in the book of Acts, it says the tongues of fire united people. They could understand each other better. So they were speaking in different languages, but everyone was understanding each other. So God is restoring people from different nations. Everyone is coming to that oneness. And though we are of different tongues sometime, but of different cultural background, but we still understand that what is the heart of God, because we are of that same frequency. Our tongue is same, our language is same, when it really is about heart-to-heart language, you see. Culture to culture might be different, but heart to heart language is the same. Yeah. So awesome. Because, and I love when Debbie says this, iron sharpens iron. And it's like, you know, we are here, we are learning from each other. And it's not that we have got it all. And it's not that I have got it all. So we are here, we are you know, discussing stuff. This fellowship is so important, the Saturday one, because we learned so much from this fellowship. Just then, just other than, you know, me coming up and doing some leading you guys in meditation, this is the, I think, one of the best type of meditation called as fellowship that we have. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the key word here is being teachable, right?
Yeah.
Because we have to have a teachable spirit, because each one of us is a unique expression of
yeah.
God, right? Yeah. We read the word of God in each one of us. The best Bible that you can read is the one in shoe leather that is
wow.
us, right? So
wow.
the point is, even when you go out and talk with other people, what are they going to really believe? You know, you are a book, right?
Yeah.
So you have to really be. So that's the thing I find, that when we can express God in our own unique way, that
yeah.
is the best testimony. That is the best word of God.
Amazing.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So awesome this
so
morning.
That's our prayer. It's like, that's my prayer. It's like, Lord, help me to be teachable. You know, like not to be so, you know, sometimes when we hear something or we go by what somebody that we're listening to, you know, and we have to really bring it to the Lord. And you see, that's the thing sometimes. It's like, it can be an experience for him,
yeah.
but maybe it's not necessarily for you.
Exactly.
Because we are not the same thing. So, like, for example, like even with Kirby, right? Like what he does and what he experiences is him, you know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how his vessel is made to be. It's so mystical. It's so out there. But if I try to, you know, do what he does, it would be very frustrating for me, because that's not how my design is. So we all have a certain design that we have to express him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Agree with that. So this, you know, because the Christendom today has been so easily, we've been, I mean, followers of people, and it's been like, if you question, if you challenge, it's going to really, it's not good, it's not right, but that is good. And we have to challenge ourselves. We just can't blindly listen to somebody or follow somebody. We just have to question it and do it in a more constructive and positive way. That's important. But everybody in the mystical tribe got to question the stuff, challenge, and remember, when we are challenged, that's when we grow. I always tell the church here in Goa, I tell them, if you don't feel challenged by my teaching, think that you are not growing and I am not growing. And getting challenged by the revelation, the teachings, is so important. The revelation and teaching has to challenge you. It has to make you think, question. If it is not making you think and question, that means there is something really serious in the model. Vernal is just hypnotizing you guys to do what he wants you to do. So that should not happen. We have to keep challenging, keep questioning, keep going forward. Yeah. We have around 4 minutes left and we are off. So anyone wants to share something, testimony or anything, or any questions quickly?
I just wanted to share something that I'm learning. I really want to encourage you guys to listen to this podcast by Rhonda Byrne and Brad Bryan. Brad Bryan is a trial lawyer, so he's a very he really picks out very good points in this interview with Rhonda Byrne, who is the author of The Secret and now the latest book, The Greatest Secret. To me, it's like, that's like the Sermon on the Mount in 2021. Seriously, it's like the
wow.
Beatitude. You listen to that and you get key points on living. And I just want to share one little part of that where she actually explains about how what people believe, you know, like when somebody says, you know, I think, or I believe that he shouldn't have done that, or I believe that we should do it this way, or whatever it is. When somebody brings something like that, like an opinion, it is a belief. It is not the truth. It may not be the truth. You understand? And the truth is the truth, and it will resonate with you. So when you listen to somebody like, yeah, I believe it is like this, but that's a belief. So we have to learn how to discern and distinguish between belief and truth. And to me, it was like an example that she brought up, where she said, she's writing about all these things, which is very freeing and liberating. And then she picks up her glasses, you know, to read a research. And then she realizes, oh my God, that's a belief. I've been told that my eyes will degenerate and get worse as I grow older and all the rest of it. And that, it's a belief. It is not the truth about me. So she puts away her glasses, right? And she, I don't know what she does, but the thing is, in 2 days, she starts to see clearly without glasses.
Wow.
So that is like, that's why we have to be aware. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the limitations of life. So we sometimes limit ourselves by what we see, you know, not what we see, but what we are told, or what we perceive, you know, and things like that. So I just wanted to share that as a parting food for thought. You know, but I think I've shared it on Contemplative.
You got to share it once again. We need timely reminder, Debbie.
Yeah, but just go on Contemplative thing. And I mean, I've heard that podcast 3 times, I think.
Wow.
It's like it brings different things. And like Mike Popovich, he said, like, seriously, he's read the book. And he said, like, that's almost like, yeah, Sermon on the Mount, you know. It brings you the word, like, in a wrapped up in a different thing. But that, again, is Rhonda Burns is a unique expression of God, right? Wow. Like, if you get offended, like, in the interview, she has a Buddha idol. Mm-hmm. Or she has some kind of an idol behind her, you know, sitting on the desk. And I've like, when I share it with some people, they immediately say, I'm not going to listen to it because she has this idol. She has this idol there, therefore, you know, her source is not right, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But seriously, if you listen to it, and I say, if you listen to it and you can't hear Christ, you know, then there's something really blocking you, because I hear everything that she says, even from the first word she says, the first thing she says is, you know, happiness is your original nature. And happiness is natural. You know, and everything else that makes it not natural, that you don't get it, is because of all the stuff that is put on top of it, you know, that covers it, right?
Wow.
And so we have to go back to being like, every child is just happy, right? So, and she talks about joy, being joyful thoughts are so powerful. But if you're in depression, those thoughts are the least powerful. And you don't want them to be powerful, because when you're in depression, the thoughts that you have, if they were powerful, you'd be in trouble. Right. So anyway, it's really, really good stuff. I really encourage people to listen to it. Yeah.
Amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Wonderful, Debbie. Thanks. Guys, got to listen to that podcast also. Okay. So before we end, quick, anybody wants to say something? Share something. Hey Annie, how are you? Anushka, Shanta, guys, sometimes you need to drop in. I know you have lots to share and speak. Jennifer, Jansi, hey Jansi, long time haven't heard from you anything. Pauline, Shibin, Alfie. Yeah.
Already, as you said, that there is a lot to share, but where to start, I don't understand.
Okay, we'll keep your sharing for some other time then, when you're really prepared.
Yeah, at my workplace also, in my staff, in my students, there's a lot of changes.
Mm.
How I used to talk before, how I am talking now.
Like, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes. The way I present the lesson also.
Mm. So you see this as something this is helping because you are doing your meditations?
Yeah, surely. when I I'm sending chakras, all people, all the students are like, what you are doing chakras?
Seven chakra meditation.
They are thinking as though it is their property, and we are I'm just grabbing their property from them, and I am doing it like that.
Awesome, amazing. Okay, guys, we've done for today. Bless you so much. Love you so much. Stay connected. Be active in the group. Put some message here and there. It just encourages and stirs us up sometimes. So thank you, guys. Love you so much. See you soon next week for the meditation.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Debbie. Big shout out. And thanks to Debbie also. And all you guys who've been really... bringing conversation here.
Thank you.
All of you for attending this morning. Bless you, love you. See you, bye. Take care.
Ciao.
Ciao, bye.
From mystical meditations to teachings and interviews with various guests, Mystical Tribe brings before you reformed spirituality that will make you manifest your identity as sons of God. So be part of us and be part of this great awakening by tuning in to us through our podcast. God bless you and keep listening.